It's time again for the Scotty Johnny podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam, talking Wisconsin sports, NFL through D3, college hockey, doesn't matter. Two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what do you bet on Twitter, with music by Delete Great Cars and Trucks. Here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome into the Scotty Johnny podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett, and with me, as per usual, is Aaron Flottam.
Hey, John, what's going on, man?
Oh, so many things, Aaron. It's staying busy, trying to find ways to get outside as much as possible. It's been wonderful in my part of Wisconsin, at least.
Oh, my God, it's even down here, it's been great. Today it was got a little warm, but the dew point is down, and that's clutch. When the dew point is below 60, that's huge.
it was like last week was like 90s and humid too. So it was rough the last couple of weeks, but it's been definitely just gorgeous, sunny, and nice out here the last several days here, and we had a wonderful weekend.
Me and Ruby went up to Turtle Lake, my hometown, for the weekend. Saturday it was room temperature outside all day with partly cloudy skies. It was unbelievable. But the sad part is it would have been the weekend of the town fair if everything wasn't shut down. It would have been the perfect weather for a fair. Yeah. And damn you, COVID.
Yeah. Have you ever seen, I don't know if you've watched Community, like there's one part where they have a, John Goodman is the vice dean of the air conditioner repair school, and he takes Troy into the room. He's like, this is the room temperature room. This is what it means. And he's like, I can't tell where my skin ends and the air begins.
So yes, good. I love it. That's awesome. I do right. Remember that. Community is a great show. That and Parks and Rec.
Such a great show. Yeah. Darkest Timeline podcast, by the way, if you love Community, fantastic show and crazy to listen to and just wonderfully good. But anyhow, you can, of course, follow this show, the Scotty Johnny podcast show, at Scotty Johnny Pod on Twitter. And you can follow me, Jonathan Barnett, at Not So Humble Host. And Aaron's on Twitter now, I think, right?
Yeah. Yes. Where are you? And I was getting saucy with some Vikings fans the other night again.
What?
Because they still think they've won something. Anyways, you can find me at Cheddar Talk, at Cheddar Talk. I put up lots of fun polls and stuff like that. I was told by one of my Twitter followers in a DM that I am the best follow that has so few followers.
Huh. Like, I don't know. There's got to be a word for that. It's just like they're saying something nice to you, but in a way that makes you feel self-conscious.
Yeah, backhanded compliment.
Yeah,
sure.
There we go. Yeah
there like, we go. Yeah. I mean, actually, it wasn't even a backhand compliment. It was pretty much like he kind of said that he's like, I don't know why more people don't follow you. Okay. And I was like, I don't know either because I'm trying.
All right.
Barely I need to open my spectrum to beyond being Packer Talk, Brewer Talk. And
I'd be careful going any further out there if I were you.
And ticking off the alt-right. So, you know, that tends to, that got me some followers, but I don't want to go down that road.
All right. Well, remember, we are on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and many, many more places. Wherever it is that you find us or wherever it is you listen to podcasts, remember to go subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review us. And, of course, by rate, I mean 5 stars. 5 stars is what we've earned, and it's what we deserve here. So please go give that rating when you get the chance, because it does help other people find the podcast, and then more people can follow Aaron.
Right.
Yeah.
I like it.
Which is the entire point of what we're doing here.
This is just a medium to try and get up our Twitter followers.
Right. So. Well, yours. Yeah.
Yes.
anyhow, we'll get everything moving right along here today, and we'll start everything off with what we lovingly call our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
All right, Aaron. So kicking off the main event, we're going to start Packers because that's what we normally do. And we actually have Packers news this week.
Holy smokes.
Hokey smokes, Bullwinkle. That's a joke just for my dad, I think.
My parents too. Well, my parents listen now too, by the way.
Awesome. Anyone else who follows Rocky and Bullwinkle? Anyhow, two big
What's
signings.
Your pull water out of my hat?
Yeah. Two big signs for the Packers, which, of course, were not free agent signings, just signing their own draft picks again. Kamal Martin, the linebacker from Minnesota, and Jake Hansen, the center from Oregon, both sign. So now the Packers have only one draft pick left unsigned at this point, and that's Josiah DeGuara, the tight end out of Cincinnati. And I do get tired of this part. People have just been bemoaning having and spending a pick on a fullback. He's not a fullback. He's an H-back.
Big difference.
And, yeah, I mean, like, that is a difference. So, basically, in the system that Kyle Shanahan runs, which is an updated system of what his father ran, you use kind of zone blocking techniques, but one of the things that he does frequently is having that big tight end who, in our system, I mean, the Packers used it a lot last year, and it worked very well. And they used Mercedes Lewis to do it because he's a great blocker. And the only first-round draft pick to ever catch a touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers. But basically they do a movement where basically the tight end from the backside, who is an offline tight end, and H-back is like it's a hybrid-type position. It's a hybrid back. You're sitting there off the line of scrimmage behind and outside the tackle. And then what they use him to do then is come back across the formation. And when everyone steps, you know, like say he's lined up on the right side, everybody steps right to go into their zone block and get their gap scheme stuff worked out. He comes back across and does kind of a, you know, chase down and holds up the end. So, you know, like the guy who's not getting blocked on the far side where the play isn't going from can't chase you down from behind. And if you want to see the one that definitely clears up how great that can be, the touchdown where Aaron Jones is waving, you know, at the Cowboys, go right. Watch that play again and watch how Mercedes Lewis he kills a man. You want to see a dead body.
you want a toe, dude? I can get you a toe.
Get you a toe. Amateurs. No, yes. So DeGuara is going to be that kind of guy there. He's mm-hmm. going to be available to be in that passing game because he's almost like a very tight, large slot receiver, right? From the way that they use that. And it's something that's coming more from college into the pros now more and more. And Kyle Shanahan uses it. And it's something that definitely got used a lot in Tennessee when LaFleur was there. He's used it a lot in Green Bay already, and it obviously was one of the things that helped make the run game successful last year. And so, yeah, it's reasonable to have that. But don't call him a fullback. He's an H-back.
Did you already talk about Khrushchev?
Juszczyk? Not this week.
Khrushchev.
He will bury us.
No, I was like,
yes. Juszczyk will bury you.
and if anyone wants to talk about he's a running back, not a fullback. Just remember the Hoover kid from the Carolina Panthers that torched the Packers for 145 yards in a game. Yeah. That's an H-back, man.
Yeah.
I don't think he topped 60 yards in another game in his life, but he took out the Packers for 145.
Yeah. Yeah, so far we've made a Khrushchev joke and a Bullwinkle joke, so we're very, very topical.
And I made a Hoover reference. I don't even remember his first name.
I think it's Brad. Justin. Brad Hoover.
Brad Hoover? Right? Was it Brad Hoover? I just remember his last name. Number 45.
I was coming H-back. Back from drill that game when they were going crazy. I remember driving through from Onalaska towards where I was living in La Crosse at the time, and it just pounding the roof of my car with my fist. I was so angry. I should not have been driving. It was terrible.
Who was the running back for the Browns a couple years back?
Oh, Peyton Hillis.
Peyton Hillis,
who made the cover of Madden.
Yes.
Speaking of Madden and speaking of seamless transitions, which we obviously planned.
It was an intentional transition.
Yeah.
Dynamite dropping, Monty.
Boom. All right. Anyhow, Aaron Rodgers is the sixth highest rated quarterback in Madden for this next year. The ratings have been released. The game's not quite out yet, but the ratings have been released. Rodgers. I haven't shown this to Aaron here, our Aaron, Flottam. What would you think his rating is going to be? If I told you he was the sixth rated quarterback in the game, what do you think his rating number is?
Well, I would like to think it'd probably be 91, 92, but because of the snark that is. And they didn't do a real good job with Madden this year. There's a lot of kerfuffle about the fact that it's just the same game from last year, just updated, and that the NFL needs to let another franchise compete against EA. But anyways, 86?
89, yeah. So okay. You had the right idea. And I said this when I saw it, too. I said, look, okay, so here's the thing that gets me. 89, when I look at it in a vacuum, I said, like, okay, I guess I can, yeah, whatever, I can see that. But then I look, Breeze is a 93, and Brady is a 90. And you're like, no. No, you can't.
On what intangibles do you have them beating Aaron Rodgers? Because Aaron Rodgers is faster than both of them.
He's faster
than both of them. He's got a better arm than both of them. He's more accurate than both of them.
Yeah. I mean, in the short game, Brady's accuracy is incredible, but I mean, he does not have the ability to throw it as far as what Rodgers does, especially touch on the deep ball. No, not nearly. Yeah, so I was like, you know what? Make Rodgers a 93, and then just subtract one from each Breeze and Brady, and I'd be like, yeah.
They had to make Brady. Brady, in actuality, is probably about an 87 at this point, just on speed alone. But, I mean, you'd have to probably make him a 99 on awareness. But then again, you'd have to make Rodgers a 99 on awareness. As a matter of fact, out of the three of them, Breeze is the lowest on the awareness because of because of the stuff he said a couple weeks back. But, sorry, I almost cursed on the air there. Anyways, or on the podcast, we can edit the stuff. But, yeah, so, no, the awareness, that was one of the best memes after that was they showed all of his Madden memes or all of his Madden stats on his stat page, and awareness zero.
So, yeah, he's.
But, I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, I'm sick of this Breeze better than Rodgers garbage. Rodgers has had his team have his first season was bad. Two seasons ago was bad.
Yeah, he's been massively consistent.
Breeze and the Saints were completely irrelevant for 5 to 6 years at one point.
Yeah, I mean, and Breeze was still, I mean, I think he was still one of the better quarterbacks in the league at the time, but I mean, nobody gets as much flack for his team not doing things as Rodgers. They're like, well, he should make everyone better. But Breeze, like you just said, they were a losing team for years. They were like 7-9, 6-10 type of team for several years there. And nobody ever holds that against Brady. They're like, well, you know, they had a lot of problems. And like, what? Just, it's crazy.
Right. And so, it's because everyone hates the fact that one of the most popular teams is in a nowhere place in Wisconsin, yet Lambeau Field's so great. But and Breeze is, I mean, Breeze has been to what, one NFC championship game?
No. He's been to two, I believe, at this point.
Did they lose one? Which one did they lose?
I'm trying to say one. I have to guess. I mean, I'm trying to figure out if they have again. Maybe it is just the one. I think they've lost several semifinals, I guess, haven't they?
Because they lost to the Vikings. They didn't make it. They lost in the semis to the Vikings.
Yeah, I think you're right.
In the Minnesota Miracle. And then last year, again, they lost to the Vikings in the
I think you're right.
Just
one time, I think. You're right.
Right. So, I mean, say what you will about Aaron Rodgers, you know, having bad success, you know, against the Falcons, the 49ers last year, and then of course the worst game in Green Bay history, which is the Seattle NFC Championship game. But I mean, Aaron Rodgers has been to four NFC Championship games.
Yeah.
Drew Brees is not, I mean, Aaron Rodgers until what, 2-3 years ago, had made the playoffs every year. Even the year that he broke his collarbone the first time, they still snuck in with an 8-7 on that unbelievable pass at the end to Randall Cobb.
When
Kuhn took out the blitzer right at the last second, and Rodgers on his first game back hucked that ball. Anyways, just saying. But anyways, I mean, I don't get it. I mean, so who's above? So Mahomes got to be a 99, right?
Yeah, Mahomes is 99, and then the other ones you have on top there, I'm trying to remember, it was
Lamar Jackson.
You have to put in there.
He's got to be a 97 because he's got all the running back attributes. I mean, if anything, Lamar Jackson should be a 99. I mean, just because he's a running back.
I think
he's
a 94, if I remember correctly. Yes. So it's like, well, yeah, that's fine.
The reigning MVP. And then Deshaun Watson.
No, Deshaun Watson was after him. I could try to pull this up. I'm trying to remember who else it was in there. Russell Wilson was number two. He's a 97 overall. Yeah, Jackson 94.
Honest to God, there's no difference between Russ Wilson and Aaron Rodgers still, even with the age difference. They're the same quarterback. I mean, Russ makes some angles happen. I mean, I don't know.
Like, I have no problem with it at this point. At this point in their careers, I guess. I don't have any problem with it. Here's another fun one. At number 7, Matt Ryan. At number 8, Deshaun Watson.
they put Matt Ryan. Oh, my God.
All right, that's
hot garbage right there. Deshaun Watson is better than Matt Ryan.
Absolutely. I'm
sorry. If they would have put Deshaun Watson ahead of Aaron Rodgers, I would have been okay with it because you do lean a little bit towards the younger players that you're trying to hype up, versus the old vets. But, to put him below Matt Ryan, man, that hurts.
Speaking of hot garbage, the NFL came up with a crazy idea this last week here since our last show.
That's your second good segue.
Yeah, I know. We're killing it today. just feeding them to me. The NFL has proposed to the NFL Players Association that the owners would keep 35% of the players' salary in escrow, just in case something happens in 2020 and they need to keep the funds for something else. Like, they're legitimately saying, what if we don't make as much money as we normally do? Would you mind kind of giving us some of it back? We'll hold it for you at the beginning, and if nothing happens, we'll let you have your entire salary. And if not, we'll just kind of hold on to that. And you're like, what? No. They already have a salary cap. I mean, like, what? The big money is the TV money.
I'm thinking in the back of my head is how petty baseball players and owners and the stuff that they argue on, and that this is just 100% highway robbery. The baseball players and owners, like, I get the whole thing. I'm not dumb. Everyone knows this at this point. Like, I come across as dumb sometimes, but like, I get it. I get what they were arguing about, and I get the principles and stuff like that. But like, literally at the end, like, it was the owners and the players just, and that's the reason why they have the most powerful union is because they will hammer it. They won't, back down from a fight. But yet at the same time, over here in the NFL, where players maybe make it 2.5 years tops,
the players will not go along with this. It's a crazy idea. Yeah.
No,
I know, that too.
In baseball, this idea wouldn't even been floated. Like, this, no, this wouldn't even gotten out of the owner, out of the commissioner's mouth, and the MLBPA would have already tweeted no. without conferring to anybody. But only in the NFL would this idea even be floated out there.
Yeah, it's a crazy idea, and it's ridiculous. And before you say, it's not you, but I'm talking to the listeners here, if you start doing the, like, well, they're so rich anyhow, if it means, doing whatever it can to have a season, come on, you're thinking about you go into your job and have them tell you, like, hey, we want to take away it. Just over a third of your salary, just in case something might later happen.
I'm just gonna hold on to it.
You give me my salaries for now. I was like,
95% chance nothing's gonna happen, but there's 5% chance, and then you're gonna lose 1/3 of your income for the year. And
there's almost certainly a chance something will happen, I guess. we're gonna move on to a little bit here out of the Packer talk. We've got interesting news in college football here. So the Big Ten, first out of the gate, announced that they will be going conference only this year.
Now, and made everybody mad.
Well, and then several other people have followed suit at this point. The Pac-12 has also announced that they will go to a conference only. I have not heard from the SEC yet, or the ACC, if they have any plans to do the same, or the Big 12 or anything. But Pac-12, Big 10, they're going conference only. So, I mean, for the Badgers, that means you're not playing Notre Dame this year. But for Notre Dame, it means you're not playing the Badgers, you're not playing Stanford, you're not playing USC this year. So,
did you catch that report right off the bat? Like right after the bat, after the big, I almost said the Badgers, but after the Big Ten. By the way, brand new commissioner's been in there what, 2 years, 3 years, 2 years?
I think it's been a longer. It's still Delaney, right?
No.
Oh. Okay, no, I guess I don't know.
But anyways, how about the cojones on that guy to do that, like, just out of nowhere, like, and his press conference, which was, basically it's the beginning of the end, like, if we even have a season, like, He said it a couple times.
It's still Jim Delaney. He's been there since 89.
Since when?
89. So I was looking right at his page here.
Well, who are they talking about on Heller then? Why? Because they were like the Big Ten.
I don't know.
Because I thought it was still Delaney too.
All right. Yeah, well, that's what it says when I look.
We should just edit the last 30 seconds. Well, that's how unaware I am of what's going on.
What the interwebs is telling me.
So I listen to the radio. So anyways, right after the Big Ten called that, like it was kind of like a couple of the other conferences went, the SEC and like, hey, hold on here. Why didn't anybody call us? You'd think you'd want to call and tell us or something like that? And So I guess like a couple of the conferences were a little peeved at the other four Power Five conferences were a little peeved that the Big Ten did what they did. The only reason why we haven't heard from the SEC yet is that they're still organizing COVID parties to make sure that all their players get COVID before the season starts, because they plan on going full bore down there. So, because football is life, and what's the point of living if we can't have football? So,
I am seeing Delaney is saying he's retiring this year, and Kevin Warren will be the next commissioner. I don't know when the start date is for that. He was with the Vikings, but he will be at some point this year. Anyhow. Fun facts aside, and Big Ten commissioners and all that aside, the fun part is, of course, Notre Dame has six games in the ACC where they are not a member technically in football.
Right.
And then they have, what do we say? They have Arkansas and Western Michigan. So they have
and eight, Navy. Navy.
And
was
Navy. Yeah. So they have nine games right now.
I'm guessing Navy's out because Navy gets dictated by the DOD, which I know that very well. And they're going to be locked
down. They will
down,
keep
so.
Going. They will do what they're told. I'm pretty sure. I mean, like, I don't know. They've got a commander in chief over there too. So who knows?
But it is too. But I mean, right now, DOD directive is that, you know, I mean, it's getting broken left and right for various things, but you know, we're not supposed to leave 50 miles of our house, blah, 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 whatever.
Okay.
And I'm just guessing that since they're cadets of a military academy, I'm guessing that they, I don't know.
We don't know. They haven't announced anything there. We'll assume for the time being that that'll still happen. I mean, nine games for Notre Dame is fine, because if the Big Ten keeps the current schedule, that'll mean nine games for each Big Ten team. Now, obviously, they could add other Big Ten teams to that. It would just mean having more cross,
They've already said that they're going to do a 10-game season.
They'll increase one game.
One game from the other conference, yep.
Yeah, but the thing is then every one of your games is a Big Ten game. You're not playing Western Michigan and Navy. I mean, even if you are playing Minnesota, which is kind of Western Michigan, I guess. But
Minnesota's better than that, but
the same guy. But yeah, they're not.
Minnesota's not as bad as he used to be, and PJ Fleck's not as bad as everyone makes him out to be.
He's not as good as
the best thing that's happened at Minnesota in a long time, as far as football goes. But anyways, we still have Indiana and we still have Illinois.
Yeah.
And we still have Nebraska.
Yeah. We'll see if they start getting better. So, but here's the one thing that was interesting, because we were talking before the show, too, about, like, the big thing is Notre Dame, this could hurt them in that they don't have a conference, and they're really them and BYU and who's the Army at this point are the only three, right? The big thing is they don't hurt for revenue, but the numbers came out this week. They were talking about revenue from last year for the Big Ten. Every school from Big Ten athletics made $55.6 million per team, and the SEC made $45.3 million per team. The Big Ten is by far the highest grossing conference in college sports. They make way more money. There's more television involved. There are more fans. There just are. Also, there's more revenue sports, because it isn't just football. Several schools have three and four revenue-producing teams. Like Nebraska with volleyball, hockey, and several of these schools in the Big Ten, even though it made a lot of people angry that they made a Big Ten hockey. And wrestling in a lot of these places, too, makes money for the school, actually has revenue, which is not
Iowa,
true.
Nebraska,
Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota too, definitely.
So there's a couple places like that where you can do things.
Pennsylvania.
Like,
The Pennsylvania schools make a lot of money off wrestling too.
Yeah, Penn State is great in wrestling. Yeah. So yeah, just wanted to bring up that in terms of, you know, showing, like, you know, Notre Dame wouldn't really lose money going into a Big Ten if they were doing that, because there's a ton of money in the Big Ten just being there. I mean, that's places like Northwestern and Illinois who aren't great, they still get a revenue split on this kind of money per team. So that's one thing to show too.
Yep.
That's really all there is so much for college football. You know, assuming that there even is a season, it's hard to kind of gauge now. Some people are giving the, like, I'm hearing backdoor stuff, you know, and whatnot. It's going to be wait and see on college football. It's, you know, and in all reality, it's going to be wait and see on pro football, because they haven't officially taken away the entire preseason, but that's coming. I mean, that's going to happen. And then, what are they going to do after that? They're going to figure things out.
It's like I was telling you, John, before, and I have to give credit to the common man, Dan Cole, about how you, at where you're at in your life. When you're born, you're at the beginning of the beginning of the beginning. And when you're at the end of your life and you're dead, you're at the end of the end of the end. And as of right now, I think college, with Big Ten doing this, and they're building in time so they can push back games in case, you know, an entire offensive line gets COVID and the team, they don't want them to have to forfeit, because that's, you don't want forfeits. Forfeits are garbage. I remember in high school when we had wrestling and we couldn't make a weight class because we were from a small school and we had to forfeit and we lost 6 points. That's how much you lose per match if you get pinned, just because we didn't have anybody. You know, forfeits are garbage. Nobody wants a forfeit. But, you know, this is starting to look like the beginning of the end for college football, because these players don't get paid. You know, they're amateur athletes. It's not like the NFL players where it's their job. You know, some of us have to go into the world. I have drill this weekend. I have to go to Fort McCoy this weekend, you know, with people from all over the state in the middle of an epidemic when we're spiking, you know. And there was a lot of hope at the beginning of June, because it looked like we were doing really well as a nation and everything was coming down nicely and this and that, and then everyone went hog wild, and now we are where we are. And without getting into that conversation, like, the numbers are going up immensely every day. I mean, it was 64,000 new cases the other day, which just, I mean, I'm sure that China had that, but we just don't know.
Yeah, we'll
but I mean, it's just astronomical. We're the only ones on Earth like that. Like, literally, it's, and so to think that we're gonna put teams on a field, and, you know,
well, we're going to put them
in the way it is too. You know, it's, you know, the way they're figuring it right now, it's a 4 month timeline now, because now it's gone to, anyways, we're not going to get into a COVID conversation right now, but
if you're Notre Dame, you're going to have to go play in Georgia against Georgia Tech. Yeah. Right. Who's going to want to do that? Who's going to go play Miami tomorrow? You know, like, I don't want to do that. So, yeah. In terms of baseball, we're getting closer and closer to an actual start of what will be a shortened baseball season, of course. The one thing that is we'll have is that we record this Monday night, but Tuesday, July 14th, which is Bestie Day, but more importantly, my wife's birthday. She's, of course, 25 this year again. So
perpetually.
Yeah, because why would you say any other number to anything that any other person is going to be listening to? I will tell her correct age, but I will not say that on the radio.
I said one time that Holly was 34, and I got in trouble for it.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
And I'm not giving the real number. But
no, of course not.
It was. Yeah, all right, stop, Aaron. Stop. Yeah. Stop talking. Stop.
No, Aaron, you're doing a great job.
Doing a good job. Keep going. Yeah. Keep going. Here's a shovel.
I'm going to email this directly to Holly. We'll be good.
Or as she put the other day, she's like, oh, because one of our friends, Casey, has a podcast, Baddest Mothers in the Room, by the way. And who she is a brand new mother as of last week, brought in little Walter into the world. Cool. And, she is recovering and a C-section. And it was her birthday the other day as well. So, Casey mentioned to Holly that they're like, oh my God, Aaron and John have a lot of podcasts. And it's like, yeah, we don't miss. Yeah, even if I'm gone, John's putting something out there. And one time I knew I had to put something out there. And
it was amazing.
And so And so, yeah. And so, but Holly still admits, she's like, you guys are doing a real good job with your podcast, according to Casey. I'm like, well, what do you think? She's like, I don't listen to you. But anyways,
that's so amazing.
Our parents listen though. So
they
thank
do.
You, Mommy.
I know. My dad sends me texts every Tuesday morning to let me know what he thinks I got wrong or what I did right and how he wants to add to what I just said. So it's great. It's always fun to look forward to that every Tuesday. Of course, I'm usually up driving now pretty early, so I just get them in my car.
Well, I'm hoping other regular Pete Owen is still listening. He hasn't texted me about the show with a good critique in a while. So, Pete, all right. Are you there?
All right. We were talking baseball. I think. There's not a lot going on. We are going to go on tangents. This is going to have to be how we live for the next little bit. But anyhow,
after everything gets canceled anyways, I mean,
oh goodness,
it's going to be bad.
I'm going to be back into watching marble racing and, the Barstool Big Cat playing, NCAA football with, Doug's.
Well, actually, you know what we're going to start watching is, and it's a real thing, Australian rules football.
Oh yeah,
is a cool sport, man. It's fun. God, they have to dribble a football while running.
Yep. Yeah.
It's like a hybrid between bat. It's a hybrid between rugby. And something and Blurn's ball and basketball. It really is. It's ridiculous.
I love rugby too, and since New Zealand is completely COVID free, we could watch New Zealand rugby, which is great.
Anyhow, we can
watch the haka, which I like to show to my kids because it's amazing.
What's that?
The haka, which is the Maori war dance that they do. Look up haka, H-A-K-A. Oh, yeah, everybody do this. Look up the haka; it's amazing.
Yeah, the dance that the New Zealand team does before they play.
Yep. Hawaii did it.
I know what that is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Hawaii did it for a short period of time when June Jones was their head coach.
Oh.
Yeah, well, because they're also Polynesian.
Well, you know, they are part of the Pacific Island nations. They really are, even though they're a bunch of Brits and it's a different island. And I do love that, what's his name, from when they made Moana, which had an all Pacific Islander cast.
Yep.
They still had what's his name from Flight of the Conchords?
Yeah, Jermaine.
Jermaine, because technically, since he's from New Zealand, he's a Pacific Islander.
I believe he is partially Maori.
Yeah, he might be too.
The only one who they made a thing about that on the show one time.
Yeah.
But the only one who is not actually Polynesian in any way is the guy who does the chicken.
Chicken, yeah, Jeffrey Turdick.
Yeah.
Was also the voice of many other things.
Yes, he does a lot of that stuff. Blue Gold World Series, the first ever Blue Gold World Series, is going to be starting on Tuesday, the 14th. That's why I was talking about the 14th initially and how we got off on this round. But the Blue Gold World Series, which is going to be the Brewers, are going to pick teams. And it will be available. It will be streaming on Brewers.com. The Tuesday game, the July 14th game, will be broadcast using the television crew. So BA and Rock will be broadcasting that on a live stream on Brewers.com. So check that out. And they're going to be playing a series. They're going to be playing in different uniforms. They've done some scrimmaging, but they've all been in their home jerseys. So they're going to pick teams. One of them's going to be in their blues. One of them's, they're going to be in road and home jerseys. They're going to pick teams. What council said is they're also going to be less specific and controlled about situations for the pitchers. So they're going to play games. They're going to have less control. And he specifically said, too, we are in some cases specifically going to violate the rules of baseball because we're playing this and whatever. But they will have official MLB umpires. They will be calling balls and strikes. And they will be, using pitchers as they feel the situation dictates rather than just what they wanted to do because of the practice situations they're trying to establish. They're going to let it go and get them into kind of game ideas. They're like, I think it was Hira who said, you can only hit off a tee so much, and eventually you do have to see a 95-mile-an-hour fastball or you won't be able to play when we start games. So they're going to do a World Series. Now, blue and gold are the colors on the Brewers, but they said additionally it was meant to also, bringing this back around to conversation from however long ago, mirror the fact that the Notre Dame spring game is the blue-gold game. And where did Craig Counsell go to college?
That's right. Yeah,
he went to Notre Dame from Whitefish Bay.
Yeah, there you go. Full circle.
So it's also an homage to Craig Council's university days, and they're also, I guess, linking into football, which is more of what Notre Dame does than their baseball. Although obviously he's been a big win there. It's going to be interesting.
Heavy Notre Dame presence on this podcast today.
Yeah, oddly so. Yeah, but yeah, no. The after they have, and then after we have the TV crew doing the first game, they're going to be doing something where they're going to have the radio crew start doing the rest of it. Not Euchre apparently, but they will have the rest of the crew doing the broadcast from the radio crew on the live stream for the other games of the, you know, the Blue Gold World Series. So that'll be interesting. At least it'll be something you can watch. It'll be something you can stream it, obviously. And if you have certain devices, you can stream that to your television, I'm sure, through your Chromecast, or I can't imagine your Roku would do it, but maybe there's a way around it. I'm not sure. I have both, so.
Yeah, no, I watched batting practice today for a while. Brewers.com has been very good about putting everything up, like, right now. I watched some of the scrimmage the other day. I watched batting practice today. I'll probably watch some of this, too, because it'll just be great. And, I mean, it's better than nothing. And I love that the Brewers marketing is amazing. They really are. They make everything interesting. And it puts a level of competition into something that is absolutely meaningless. But, I mean, like you said with Hero, too, like, I hope that they don't hurt themselves. Apparently, I don't know if you heard the word out of Minnesota, but Byron Buxton hurt himself today during scrimmage and might be out for a lengthy amount of time.
Yuck.
Yeah, right. But something like that. But, you know, they do have to have game time stuff. And this is awesome, and I love it, and it's a great idea. I miss baseball. What's that?
Council does a good job of this. I think he does. He understands as well as anybody that, you know, season gets to be a grind. I mean, he was a guy who got by on hustle and grind every day for quite a long career. And I think he understands the season can get rather long. And he's a glue guy who became a manager who, you know, kind of is the glue guy on his own team in some ways. And yeah, I think he's
and still looks like he's 25 years old. Because
that's generous.
Yes.
See, he looks like he's a 13-year-old.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I love it. I love what the Brewers are doing. And you know what? And the thing is, too, is like, even if the season crashes and burns, you know, the Brewers have made a pretty good, you know, when a lot of baseball fans might be walking away because of the way things were handled early on during the negotiations between the players and owners. And people will still be PO'd when this thing just tanks 2 weeks in because one team can't field a team because whatever. Brewers fans will be able to appreciate, like, I appreciate what Craig Council does. I do.
Yeah.
Right? And what the Brewers do too. And as long as I can hear somebody on a radio calling a baseball game on a summer night this year, you know, unlike the summer of my discontent back during the strike when I was in high school and I couldn't listen to baseball because they weren't playing. You know, it was something's wrong. Like, I was up at my parents' house this weekend, like talked about. And one of the things, we always used to sit out on the back patio. We'd have a fire on Saturday night. We'd just listen to whatever Brewer game was going on. And it always made us mad when there was a Saturday game. because then we couldn't listen to the Brewers, you know, even though even with Euchre being gone on away games now, it's just like, that's what we want. That's all we want to hear. Some feeling of normalcy again. And even if it's just a scrimmage, I don't care. It's good. It's good to see people. It's good to see my players playing ball. And I love it.
Yeah. I think the big thing is, like, I don't think anybody in Wisconsin is going to be blaming the Brewers for what was going on in terms of the you know, negotiations and all that other stuff. That was mostly by owners and players in what is kind of the top end of those things. And the Brewers are a mid-market team. It's just like, please, can we just get people in seats? Like, we really need this. We really need to have people in seats because it changes. Like, it's what we do. It's where we make our money. We don't get by on the Yes Network. We, you know, we have to have people in seats. Please let us figure out a way to do this. And so, yeah, nobody's going to blame, you know, the Brewers or the Brewer staff. They've definitely done a great job of trying to make this team marketable. And you know, kind of reach out and really interact with their fans.
Right. Yeah. And by the way, the voice actor we were talking about earlier was Alan Turek, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Who a lot of people would remember as Steve the Pirate from Dodgeball. But he was...
Okay.
You remember the guy, Steve the Pirate in Dodgeball? But he's also did a lot of voices in Ice Age, Frozen. He's the Duke of Weselton. He's been Clark Kent in Superman, right. Justice League. And the big one for him, Big Hero 6, he was Alistair Cray. And then the one that everybody, if you are, he was, of course, Hey in Moana, the chicken, but in Rogue One, which is Empire Strikes Back, is my favorite Star Wars movie. Rogue One is my favorite of the newer movies. Mm-hmm. I think Rogue One is BA. He's K2SO, the big robot.
Oh, in that one. Okay.
So, and then, of course, yes. So there you go.
Yeah.
And he's Iago in the latest Aladdin real life.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've watched. So, I've not watched the real life one. No, I went through and watched the old one.
That's just his filmography, not things he's done on TV. And if we were to go into that, we could do another hour podcast on that. So
yeah, we've been trying to fill time, but we don't need to make it that much longer. The last couple things we'll have. What we're going to do is we're going to wrap them up in what we call our last call.
Time to look around and get your bearings. It's time for the last call.
All right. The first thing that I think we want to talk about for everybody who's going to talk about this is the Washington football franchise now is only the Washington football franchise. They've officially retired the old name, the old moniker, the thing they used to be called. And
Redskins.
Yeah, I'm not going to go that. No.
Whatever.
It's history.
You can't just not say that. But
you can absolutely not say that. There's a lot of things in history we don't say as words anymore, like to people, you know. It's like we just don't.
I know, but to forget history and erase history is to erase what actually happened and why we had to change it, you know, like the reason why the Washington Bullets are no longer the Washington Bullets and why they're the Washington Wizards. It's because we don't call them Bullets, because at the time in Washington DC there was a huge crime rate. We got rid of the Houston Colt 45s because it's a gun and you don't want to name a team after a gun, you know, stuff like that. So I mean, we shouldn't just completely ignore the fact that they were named the Redskins. They were named the Redskins for, what, 60 years? I mean,
yeah,
and same thing with the Cleveland Indians. I mean, let's not ignore it. I mean, you can say what it is, but I mean, it's the Washington Football Club, yes.
Pointing out that it's a phrase that I don't want to say is enough to point out its history. I don't have to say the word. You already know, like, right. Wow, it's one of those kind of words. Like, why would you name a team
that? It's one of those things with the new cancel culture and just erasing history. And it's like, no, that's what the people in Germany in the 1930s and 40s tried to do, is just erase history. You don't erase history because you need to know what your history is so you can learn from it so you don't make the same mistakes again. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. As the history major, you're not erasing any history.
I started off as a history major in college. Yeah,
but I have the degree. And you don't erase history by moving a statue. You don't erase history by changing the name of a team. Because you know what? The entire history of that team is still there. You don't have to keep saying...
I'm just saying, like, you don't...
I don't have to throw out the N-word to let you know that you shouldn't say it. Like, I don't have to put that on this podcast. I don't have to throw out, you know, all these other things. I can tell you, I was like, man... There are horrible things people said to each other. And like, you know, it's like you couldn't name a team many of those other things.
I know, because you
couldn't even get away with it because nobody would even try it. But they've just let this go for so long. And again, the reason why is financial. It's several things. It's FedEx said stop it. It's Nike said stop it. And then the other thing is the people of D.C. said stop it. They have stopped showing up.
Snyder said that too, like, oh, it's going to take so long to change the name process, blah, 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 whatever. Well, imagine that. You start lifting money out of your wallet, and all of a sudden they changed it in literally 2 weeks.
Yeah. If you look at attendance the last couple of years, first off, the fans in Washington hate that Snyder runs his team terribly and they don't win. That's one thing. But the secondary thing is poll after poll after poll of the people in Washington, D.C., they hate the name of that team. They want the team to change the name. Mm-hmm. So it's like, why are you holding on to it? You're not doing it for your fans. Right. What is going on? So it's weird. It's weird. Yeah. And the thing is, the people
if you go online and look up the Lewis Black bit where he's fighting with fans in the crowd in Washington about the name of the team, because Lewis Black says that I've called them the Washington Football Club for the last 20 years. And then like people start heckling him and he goes after them. And it's like, what are you holding on to? Why? You know, it's like, doing his bit, and you're exactly right. It's like, what are they holding on to? And that's not what I meant earlier either about holding on to it either. I was just saying, like, I listen to reporters, like they say Redskins by accident, and then they're like, I'm sorry. It's like, no, that's what they've been called forever. It's okay to say the name. You don't have to be embarrassed that you call them, because that's what they were called forever. It's not just give yourself a month to figure out. It's like when a year turns from 2019 to 2020 and you keep writing down 2019 until about halfway through February and you figure it out. Yeah. I'm really hoping that
2021 looks back and is like, don't you dare call me 2020. That year was garbage.
That year was terrible. That year was terrible. But I'm like, we can't just absolutely turn a switch right now. Like for some of us who have been calling him Washington, I know me and you have referred to him as Washington forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's the way we have been. Like every once in a while you'd call them the Redskins just because whatever. But I mean, that's why I said it shouldn't be that big of a deal. And they just call them, like Lewis Black says, just call yourself the Washington Football Club, you know? And so like Cleveland got rid of Chief Wahoo a couple of years ago.
Yeah. And I mean, they have him on some merchandise, but he's mostly gone.
Right. Exactly. But those teams have slowly been phasing them out, you know, and it is what it is, but you're right. I mean, the one thing about Washington Football Club is that they've got a terrible owner who runs a team like a rented mule and gets nowhere. And just, I mean, took the first coming of Patrick Mahomes and ran him into the ground, then messed around with Kirk Cousins for 3 years, franchise tagging him rather than just making him doing that. I mean, he's a terrible owner. The city hates him. The city hates the name. You know, there's a reason why the Cleveland Indians have taken no heat they take some heat, but like protesters don't show up at away games for the Cleveland Indians because they understand that the Cleveland Indians are working towards this, you know, working towards a resolution. There's a reason why the Kansas City Chiefs don't have any problems. There's a reason why, North Dakota had some issues a couple of years back, and they just went to North Dakota. I mean,
they tried to work out their issues with them and they just couldn't. And part of that is also that they're named after a nation that was far too large to get everyone to agree. So yeah,
right.
They tried to go the Florida State route. They just couldn't get it done.
Right. Well, then Florida State there's two separate Seminole Indians, but that's another conversation for another day. But anyways,
so it's let them change it. Like seriously, it's a name. Nobody got fired up when they stopped being the Oilers. I'll just say that. They're just like, like the Titans. What is this? What about our history?
Oilers was a better name than the Titans.
Of oil welling in America. No, nobody had a problem with them calling the Titans. I mean, the Titans, that's Greek. I mean, stole that from the Greeks because we don't even believe in the Titans. No. But anyhow,
I'm just waiting for the day when there's been some problems with the meatpacking industry during this whole COVID-19 industry or this whole COVID-19 winter of our discontent. And I'm just waiting for people to be outraged with the name Packers.
and I don't want to hear anybody doing the like, well, what about Vikings or the Fighting Irish? Like literally the Fighting Irish are named that because the team was made up of Irish Catholics. They called themselves the Irish because they were Irish. Mm-hmm. There have been no Native American players who have played for Washington. And
the only team in history that had the name, the Indians, was the Oorang Indians. And that's because Jim Thorpe made a team out of Native Americans.
Well, he played for Carlisle College, which is an Indian school. And so they were the Indians too. Yeah. So that's different. Jim Thorpe was a Native American. Yeah.
Jim Thorpe doesn't get enough credit. We need to talk about him more often, by the way.
Absolutely. And he ended after he was done playing sports, he was like an extra in old West movies, like in the beginning of movies. Like he was just a guy in the background. Like you're an Indian, play an Indian. And kind of sad way his life kind of ended
really
out there.
It is really sad, yes. But yeah. Anyway,
for maybe the greatest athlete who ever lived. In other news, yeah, possibly. He's in the argument. The NHL has decided that it will not allow its players to play in the United States for the playoffs that they're putting together, which are going to be starting soon. They are picking two Canadian cities because the United States is not safe enough for its players. And that's the world we live in at this moment, so that's fun. So I guess Tampa and Miami are out of the running, and New York and New Jersey, all of them out of there. It's going to be two Canadian cities. The NHL has now decided that that's what's going to happen.
And Minneapolis and St. Paul had a pretty good shot at it because the numbers are pretty low in Minnesota, but some things happened. And
yeah, they don't. Yeah,
nice work. Nice work there.
Yeah, there's just. They don't trust anywhere in the U.S. right now, and they've got a lot of arenas with a lot of space in Canada, and they can get it done, so they're going to.
Right.
The one other weird little thing I wanted to talk about, I've seen little inklings of this that they've discussed, and actually Wilde and Tausch, you know, Jason Wilde and Mark Tauscher talked about this a little bit on their show, but they did it a little differently. The WIA has apparently had some discussion about maybe switching track to the fall and football to the spring. Now, what Tauscher was suggesting is moving baseball over. But the problem is, of course, as a general rule, more football players are in track than in baseball. It's not everybody, obviously. We had a lot of both.
They'll be lucky if they get any sports this year. So, yeah.
I think actually at my high school, more of the football players played baseball than played track. But I think a lot of guys get in track, and from the other places I've been, track, you know, your running backs run, your wide receivers run or high jump, and then you get, you know, the weight events and things like that. So it's an excuse to allow people to kind of weight lift more and work on speed and all the things that help them with football. So yeah,
I absolutely agree. I coached track for 2 years up at Rhinelander, which is, you know, that's what's the conference that Stephen points in?
Wisconsin Valley. Well, now
Valley Conference.
Well, they have a separate football thing.
Valley Conference at the time, the cross country team was made up of kids, guys who didn't play football who wanted to get in shape for hockey and basketball, and then track and field in the spring was all the football players.
Yeah, I think the other thing, too, is like if you were going to move track, you would have to move cross country, too.
Cross country is a fall sport.
Yeah, I'm saying if you move track to
the spring,
you'd have to move cross country to the spring because all your distance runners would have to pick one or the other then. So it wouldn't just affect football. You would have to move things like cross country into the spring as well then.
Yeah, cross country is also not a good sport to – it would be better in the spring because of the starts at the beginning of a cross country. You have seven runners from each team all lined up together, however many teams. So if there's 10 teams competing, you have 70 people all shoulder to shoulder at the start line waiting to take off. And they have a sprint start. So you wouldn't want that stuff either, because that's a lot of breathing.
Moving football and cross country and then bringing track up, you know, maybe it's something. It's an idea. I don't know that they'll do it, but it's something people are talking about as an interesting idea. And that might be, it might be valuable to do because cross country, I mean, like, if you've ever been to a track meet, it is everywhere. But I mean, like, it's small little sections and everyone can stand kind of apart because you kind of stand in your own little school groups, you know, like you've got three shot putters. And they'll kind of be together, but you don't want to hang out with you. You kind of hang out and talk to the shot putters, but I hated them because that's how I roll. Especially Matt Schley. Matt Schley was the worst, and he's terrible, and I'm still better than him.
And then in the meantime, people find this one hard to believe. I was an 800 meter dash runner. So I call it the 800 meter dash. It's an 800 meter run, but it's a dash. Because you have to. So.
It's really fast. Yeah, that's a crazy run.
That one sucks because your body goes to the average body goes from aerobic to anaerobic, or the other way around at 145, which the world's fastest runners in the 800 meter dash is under, I don't know what the current world record is, but for most of us in high school who were good, we were at 2 minutes, between 1:50 and 2 minutes, you know, and starting the season more around up by like 2:10. I mean, so at about 150 meters, your body starts changing and you got to switch modes, and it's hard to sprint when your body's not being aerobic anymore.
Oh, then it's a weightlifting exercise. Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't imagine. I can't believe I was in good enough shape at one point in my life to do that on a regular basis and be good at it. So
it's amazing. Anyway,
so that's interesting. That it's an interesting thought, moving stuff around like that. Like I would never have thought about that. And I just thought we were going to junk high school football this year. But I guess, I mean,
nobody's given up yet.
No, I mean, you gotta think, you gotta keep moving, and that's like what the Big Ten's doing too. You gotta be fluid, you gotta evolve, you gotta keep things going like that. And with the Big Ten moving to a conference only schedule, that's what they did. They freed up 4 to 5 weeks to like move things around, stuff like that. And yeah, you gotta keep trying, man. And not only that, but I'm going to spitball this one. There's no facts in this, and I will not stand by what I'm saying, but I know that this happened. The WIA had a survey of 3,200 students within Wisconsin, and it was a five-state area. I think we talked about this last week, actually, too, a five-state area survey of 13,000 athletes between of the five-state area around Wisconsin.
Among.
And they were polling student-athletes, and 65% of them claim to be moderately to chronically depressed because they weren't able to play sports.
Yeah.
And having talked to my cousins that are still in high school, they're bummed, you know, like,
yeah,
my cousin Ryan's up in Eau Claire North, and he's going to be a sophomore this year. So he's going to be, he's the running back for Eau Claire North. He's like, yeah, it sucks, whatever. So I go fishing a lot, you know?
Yeah. He's couldn't play football in high school. I don't know what I would have done.
Heavier than I am right now, but you know, it sucks, you know?
Yeah. There aren't easy answers anymore. We're past that point. We're just moving on where we can. So that's all I have, I guess. Aaron, did you have anything you want to add before we wrap up this week?
You were talking about all-time greatest athletes, Jim Thorpe, and I wanted to bring this one up in case anyone's still listening at this point after that last diatribe that I threw out there. But we talked about it. If you haven't gotten online, or if you haven't gotten on to watching the scariest movie of all time, there's a horror movie that will make you...
Brian's Song?
Sit... No. That will make you sit on the edge of your seat, even though you know that the person involved isn't going to die. Go watch the documentary Free Solo about Alex Honnold, the guy who free climbs El Capitan in Yosemite National Park. Oh. El Capitan is a 2,300 foot rock face, vertical. He climbs it without any ropes in 3 hours and 48 minutes. And I tell you that's a spoiler alert, but guess what? You can go see it online if you want. The whole time your hands will be dripping with sweat because he's literally climbing on pebbles sticking out of a rock face. And we were talking about it beforehand, before the show started, and it's top five greatest athletic accomplishments of all time. Like, you talk about Thorpe being one of the best athletes of all time, just greatest athletic achievements. I mean, it's top five. Yeah. There's no way around it. He is the only person on earth to ever do it. Maybe the only person on earth ever to do it.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So
also, there you go, Jeff. Free Solo, I always think, could be just like a backstory movie about everything that went on about getting Han Solo out of the carbonite. Like, go back and say, like, hey, what happened between these two movies? There had to have been a lot of setup. Who was making these plans? How did they work it all out? That's the next one. Call me, Disney. I got plans.
I really think like everything else in Star Wars is pretty willy nilly, and Princess Leia just walked in there in a costume, and then Luke showed up and had to beat the Bantha, and yeah, just made it up. However, R2 did have a lightsaber inside of him, so there must have been some planning.
Some kind of plan.
That God, yeah. That's such a hole in the story. How on earth did Luke know that they would be taken out to the Starlack and that he would have to leave his lightsaber with R2-D2? And why not just walk into Jabba's lair with your lightsaber and kick some ass like your dad did?
No one knows, but they will when I make my movie.
Could have carved Han right out of the carbonite with your lightsaber. It would have been great.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us once again. Especially all of our fans out in the UK, out in Germany and Austria and other nations, as it tells us on Podbean.
Yellow bells.
Yeah. Whether you listen to us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever else it is you get these things, please remember to subscribe. I can't talk right now. Please remember to subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review us. You can also follow the podcast at Scotty Johnny Pod. You can follow me at Not So Humble Host, and you can follow Aaron at Cheddar Talk. I had to go kind of a crazy voice there after I lost my ability to speak normally. All right, but take care out there, everybody, and take care, everybody, and whether you're on the town or on the go or on the couch, remember it is always on Wisconsin.
Free Solo.
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScottyJohnny1 or online at ScottyJohnny.com. Thanks for listening, and on Wisconsin.